Hello, Tempest fans. I am the Midnight Host, and I want to invite you to join me every Friday as I enjoy a new horror short story. For fans of The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, and Creep Show, Don't Fall Asleep is a podcast and YouTube channel featuring modern and classic horror stories. Narrated by Spencer Dillehay, the narrator for Tempest Investigations. Find us on YouTube and in podcast form. Search Don't Fall Asleep Channel on YouTube and Don't Fall Asleep Podcast in Google or your player of choice. Whatever you do, have a pint of Bob's Tail Ale before you go, and don't fall asleep.
Episode 6, Mission's End. I did the right thing, right? It all worked out in the end? In the end, nothing ends, Adrian. Nothing ever ends. Alan Moore from Watchmen. Part 1. Mercedes, Rhea, and Andrew sat in the office the next day and listened to Jim and Matt as they were finishing the tale of their experiences in the mansion. Both he and Matt had been too exhausted to give much of an account when they got back to town, so Matt had headed home while Jim and Rhea had slept in the guest room. Jim's eyebrows had raised high enough that they almost vanished beneath his hairline when he saw the destruction in his bedroom, but he hadn't said anything. Only kissed Rhea and held her so tight that she almost lost her breath.
Whoa, cowboy! Take it easy! I'm absolutely fine. There's no need to squeeze the life out of me.
First thing the next morning, the Tempest team had sat down and gone through the information they now had. Maurice being not only a dangerous vampire, but actually the reason Jim had become immortal, was big news. And the fact that a kind of demigod lived just outside the city proper didn't make any of them feel particularly safe.
"So you're saying he could do anything?" Mercedes asked. "He sent you back in time. He can make people immortal. He can teleport himself and create a house feeding on human energy. Isn't he something we should be really worried about?"
"I don't think he wants anything to do with the normal world if he can help it. I got the feeling that he was not only old and exhausted, but actually tired of everything the world has to offer. I don't see Howard getting involved in the day-to-day business of the Bay Area, but if he does, there's nothing we can do about it. He's quite simply too powerful."
"So we leave him out of the equation for now," Andrew said. "We focus on Maurice. But we're still not exactly closer to knowing how to get him."
"We need to lure him out of his hole to a place where we can face him," Jim said. "I'm pretty sure that the sword, Michael's sword, I mean, which apparently came from Howard himself, will work against him. That's what it was made for, after all. If I face him man to man, I hope I can take him out. His two compatriots, however, I'd hope you could hold off while I do so."
"You're saying we should just deal with the flunkies while you do a duel with the most dangerous guy you've ever faced?" Rhea said. "If I can help you, I'm helping you. If I can crush Maurice to a tiny, bloodless pulp, that's what I'm doing."
"Rhea, remember what the prince said. There's no way for you to defend against Maurice's emotional control. You could be our strongest ace in the hole, but if he takes control over you, you could kill us all in an instant. You could topple the Golden Gate on top of us if he got in your head."
"I doubt that," Rhea said, trying to smile a little. "That's too heavy, even for me."
"You know what I mean. After last night, it's a safe bet that Maurice knows about your powers. He's going to be looking for ways to exploit our weaknesses. He's obviously okay with sending assassins into a crowded neighborhood, so we need to believe he'll do whatever it takes."
"Okay, I have a question," and it might sound insensitive, Mercedes said. But is this going to interfere with my wedding? Because I've got people coming in from both families, and we've already booked the park. Is it going to be a problem? I mean, are we sending our families into a slaughterhouse or something?
We can't stop living just because some psycho vampire's out there, Jim said. So I hope it won't. I realize you're going to use some time planning the event, and that's okay. Just keep your eyes out and be aware of any waiters with sharp teeth or that kind of thing. We got Matt here, too, so it's not a problem if you take some days off.
Yeah, I can help you with manning the reception out here, Matt said. It's not a problem. I mean, I've got school a few times, but I'm sure I can make it work. Thank you, guys, Mercedes smiled. I really appreciate it. I mean, you know I'm here to kick butt and take names whenever I'm needed. Just say the word.
Jim nodded in agreement. Great. I think we'll start with coordinating with the SFPD. We'll see if there's any way Benari and Secord will help us find a pattern in his attacks, and maybe find out if we can use an upcoming social event for luring him out. It seems like he loves an audience. They all got up to leave, except Rhea.
Jim, can I have a word?
Sure. He closed the door behind the others.
What is it? I noticed you didn't talk a lot about what happened when Howard sent you back in time.
On purpose. I don't want to do anything that could be seen as contaminating the timeline. Not to mention that I remember two different things. It's hard to know exactly which is which now.
Are you sure?
Rhea sat on the edge of his desk and turned his chair so he faced her.
Because I noticed that you put her picture away last night. I put it up next to the bed where you usually keep it, but you moved it. Am I being a nosy bitch if I ask if something happened?
You're not, and something did happen. I found out some stuff I didn't know before. If I tell you what it is, though, you're going to think I'm just trying to sound cheesy.
How so?
I've always thought Ginger was the love of my life. The most incredible, wonderful woman that ever lived. I adored her, and I saw none of her flaws. Well, very few of them, anyway. But I found out there was something she kept from me. A side of her that I didn't know. She was cheating on me, probably with several men in the time we were married. When I learned that, I suppose the best way to say it is, I changed my mind. I still love Ginger, and I always will, but I think you're the love of my life, Rhea. I think you're the one I was meant to meet. I think that maybe Howard kept me alive for all this time so I could meet up with you and be with you. Jim's voice didn't waver or shake, but as he spoke, he saw tears appear in the corners of Rhea's eyes. He finished his speech by taking her hand.
I love you, Rhea. I love you more than anything. I just want you to know that.
Oh, Jim,
Rhea said, her own voice slightly thick. She leaned forward and kissed him.
I love you too.
That being said, Jim said as their lips parted. You're still paying for the wall in the bedroom.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Bob fiddled with the borsellino on his head. He usually wore it in public to hide his horns, but today he couldn't really make it sit right. With an annoyed grunt, he pulled it off, showing his spiky black hair and the two white horns. Using his fingers, he adjusted the hat again, shaping it a little better, and put it back on his head.
The people around him didn't look like they took much notice of him, which was part of why he loved this city. In San Francisco, you could look however you wanted and still be considered normal. He had dressed up in a suit for the night, though, so in that aspect, he didn't look out of place. He stood in front of the theater, feeling the evening chill from the fog creeping over him. The poster for Les Misérables was behind him, and he found himself standing in almost exactly the same position as the girl on the poster. His eyes went back and forth over the crowd. He wondered if Martin would actually show up. Although he didn't take the man for someone who would stand you up, it had been a long time since he had last dated, and there was always an unconscious fear of being toyed with.
"Hey, Bob,"
a voice close to him said. He turned, his face lighting up in a smile. Martin was wearing a black blazer, white shirt, and black jeans, making him look wonderfully casual and elegant at the same time.
"Martin! I'm so glad you came!"
Bob reached out his hand as Martin spread his arms to hug him. He quickly spread the other arm, as Martin then reached his one hand forward to shake. They both stopped, and Martin snickered.
"Let's just choose one. What do you say?"
Bob said, and they both spread their arms, embracing in a hug.
It should have felt awkward. It didn't. "I've already picked up the tickets,"
Bob said, pointing to his pocket.
"I figured maybe you'd want a cup of coffee or a beer before we went inside."
"Oh, a beer would hit the spot,"
Martin said. "I've been playing Captain Blue all morning and spent all afternoon doing a pitch for this advertising project I'm doing. I am parched."
"Well, let's go then."
Bob held the door to the lobby open for him.
"And even though they don't serve my microbrewery product here, they do stock some decent brands."
"Do you come here often?"
Martin said.
"A season pass. I love Broadway shows."
"Me too,"
Martin smiled.
"I loved the production of Wicked last month."
"Really?"
Bob tilted his head.
"Me too. I actually had one of the actors come to my bar. Fun fact, the green skin, not makeup."
Martin frowned for a moment, but then reached his hand over and squeezed Bob's arm.
"I think you can tell me a lot of interesting things. I'm really looking forward to getting to know you. Outside of the theater, I mean."
Bob felt his stomach flutter a little.
"Me too.
Have you seen this one before?"
Martin asked as they entered the grand lobby. Around them, people were crowding both the bar and the merchandise booth, and Bob was glad he already had their tickets.
"I have, actually. A few times. Les Mis is one of my favorite shows."
"Well, I hope you won't think me a bad musical fan, but I've never seen it before."
Martin shrugged.
"Every time it came to town, something always seemed to come up, and I never got around to it."
"Oh, that's okay. There's a first time for everything. I'm really glad to be there when you see it for the first time, then. It's quite a powerful story."
They headed toward the bar, where Bob looked at Martin.
"Would you mind ordering? I'll be happy to pay, but it's kind of an issue for me. Owning a bar means I kind of end up being the worst kind of customer."
"I get that. Hey, the cobbler's kids go barefoot, as they say."
Martin smiled and gave Bob's hand a short squeeze.
"I'll get the drinks. Besides, you paid for the tickets. Let me do something, too."
"It's a deal. I'll be over by the stairs."
Martin returned a few minutes later with two glasses of beer and handed one to Bob.
"So, I have to tell you, sending Andrew over to give me your number..."
Martin took a sip of his beer.
"That was probably the sweetest thing I've ever seen."
It wasn't sweet so much as it was me being shy,"
Bob said.
"I might not come off as shy to you, but you have to understand that I don't... Well, I move in special kinds of circles, you might say. The patrons that go to my bar are a very particular type of people, and I tend to stick with them. That makes the dating prospects sort of limited."
But you joined up with the theater group, Martin said. And you were terrific as Mephisto. You don't have to worry about...
He gestured to Bob's hand to imply his skin color.
It's no different than being black or Mexican.
It is, though, a bit. There are the horns, too, even though people here in SF never really give me a hard time. I know what some of them think.
Martin put his hand over Bob's. His warm fingers caressed Bob's red skin.
Look, I had a great time with you on stage and off stage. I would have gone out with you in a heartbeat if you'd asked me. You're a terrific-looking guy, and you've got a great smile and a good sense of humor. Who cares if you've got a horn or a tick?
He cut himself off and held up his hand to his mouth to cover a smile.
You've got a tail, don't you? I thought it was your costume, but you've actually...
I do. But I promise you, it's actually an advantage.
Bob couldn't help smiling and giving Martin the kind of saucy wink he often gave his customers.
You'd be surprised how many uses a thing like that has.
I'm sure it does. Wow.
Martin took a drink from his glass, a bigger one this time.
Okay. As I was saying,
who cares, right? A first date is about chemistry, and I think we've got that, so you've got nothing to worry about.
Bob felt like a boulder rolled off his shoulders. He felt light as a feather and gave Martin a charming smile.
I'm glad you think so. And I think so, too. The chemistry, I mean.
So, should I get a t-shirt?
Martin said, changing the subject, and pointed to the merchandise counter.
They've got several.
Why don't we wait until the intermission? If you absolutely hate it...
You just said it was a powerful piece.
I doubt I'll hate it. I trust you.
Bob had the urge to reach forward and kiss Martin, but settled for putting his hand on the other man's shoulder and looking him in the eye. He didn't want to come on too strong.
Come on. Let's go inside and find our seats.
They both sat almost breathless throughout the musical, Bob occasionally casting sideways glances at Martin, who, like him, cried when Fantine, Enjolras, and Eponine died. During most of the second act, they were holding hands, and when the last words of the last song played, they reluctantly let go to put on their coats, leaving the theater as if by unspoken agreement. They got in the same taxi and went to Martin's apartment. That night, the Convergence Club had its doors closed.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.